Today is Thursday, September 23rd, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 427, featuring Heavy.com's Sean Devaney, is powered by BetOnline.ag and Legends Apparel. Go to BetOnline.ag today, enter code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And of course, go to legends.com, use the promo code BEAT20, that's BEAT20, to get 20% off your whole order. What's up, everyone? It's a new edition of Celtics Beat. Great to be here with you. Adam Kaufman and Valenti, you're used to the two of us bozos, but we've also got Sean Devaney, who can give us a good perspective on not just the Seas, but the entire league. You know him, good friend of this program. Sean, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I consider myself the third bozo here.
Yeah, well perfect. You'll fit right in.
Looking more like Clark Kent today there.
I've got the glasses on, which means I'm going to say smart
things. The shirt open, like you're halfway there with the shirt. The shirt's open, the glasses are on.
By the end of the show, the shirt will be
Isn't there a I feel like there's a certain science to having specs, right? Anytime you're about to say something really intellectual or really, you know, poignant, you need to kind of, you know, pull them down just a little bit, right? Like that, or even like take them out of the off the face altogether, and like, you know, put the one end in your mouth, just, you know, like what, almost like a pipe.
Yeah, these don't actually have lenses. I'm just wearing these to look smart.
We call that the reverse Caruso. You know what I mean? From CSI Miami, David Caruso would always just like, before he said something like really cheesy, he'd be like, he would just take that pause, put the glasses on, look at the camera. Like that's the reverse Caruso going on.
Listen, you guys joke. A good buddy of mine, if this applies to any idiots out there, and I'm saying that because I feel you're an idiot if this does apply to you. You know, we got together one time. He's wearing glasses. I said, when'd you get glasses? Like maybe you just had contacts forever and I didn't even know it. And he's like, oh, they're non-prescription. He's just wearing regular, you know, they look like, you know, like what you're wearing, glasses, reading glasses, whatever, but there was no purpose other than just for fashion, like a moron.
My girlfriend does that. You might want to watch yourself.
Well, good. Then she's an idiot too. Why would you want to wear glasses? What's the purpose of that?
It's an accessory piece. You could go with stuff. Like if you want to, you know,
get a watch.
Have both. Why can't
or
you
have an accessory piece?
But then again, I say this as someone who like doesn't even own a pair of sunglasses, which actually serve a purpose. I just go out and
that's way dumber, Kaufman. That you don't own a pair of sunglasses. What do you?
My wife can't stand it. Well, I go on vacation. I'm squinting in every photo. So, like, could you maybe just get a pair of sunglasses just for this purpose?
I don't have them either. I'm the same way, and I get the same amount of criticism for it.
I don't know. I don't want like the raccoon tan or whatever.
Well, I'm going to sit on them and break them, or I'm just going to leave them somewhere. So it's like, why not just skip the middleman and just not get them to begin with?
No, the move is to not, like, I don't buy expensive sunglasses. Like, there's a place called Five Below where everything's $5 or less.
Yeah, like
that's where I buy my sunglasses for exactly Sean's take. Because I either break them, lose them, wherever. If I invest $200 in a pair of Ray-Bans or Oakleys or something like that, I'm going to be pissed. But if I break a $5 pair, oh, well, move on to the next one. Right. Not a big deal.
Well, that's our fashion TED talk. Thanks for coming out to today's show, everybody. We'll catch you again next week. This show was power. Okay. Let's talk a little NBA, guys, because as we know, there's stuff going on concerning the Celtics. Not a lot, by any means. I mean, the biggest news in the last week is we have a preseason schedule. Training camp opens within the week. You've got Theo Pinson, who was signed to just their training camp roster. He's not someone you need to commit to memory. Gary Clark is a guy who they're, you know, a kind of a journeyman, has been around for a few years, never been particularly good. They're working him out. Who knows if he gets a contract or not, but nothing significant has happened in the world of the Celtics. We'll touch on just some other areas as we go on with this show. The league as a whole, however, Sean, it's especially great that you're here because you don't only cover the Seas, you cover the entire league. The league is just, it's upside down. The drama that comes with the NBA year round. I mean, there is no bad time on the calendar for NBA drama. I'm all in for it. We'll do a little roulette here, I guess. You know, you decide. You want to start Ben Simmons, you know, the Pelicans situation with Zion and David Griffin, and of course this Minnesota fiasco. Where would you like to begin?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is the league is gearing up for this 75th anniversary thing, and they've been very excited about it. This is not the week that the league wanted to have leading into the big 75th anniversary kickoff. But you know, I think the Minnesota thing, just because that's the most shocking. I mean, that just really came out of left field. Gerson Rosas had been there, just a couple of years now, had done an okay job. I don't think anybody was really complaining. He had a lot to clean up. It looks like he made a pretty good move with the Edwards pick. That's certainly shown some promise. And things seem to be moving in the right direction there. And then you get this shocking news that he's out. Whether it's a culture thing is something that's been going around. There's of course talk that he had sex with another employee.
On that, by the way, because that was, that's part of the Athletic article. It's right there in the tweet teasing the article. Like it was discovered that, all right, so. Okay, so I take it back. I take it back in part because I missed this part. So all that was in the initial tweet that I saw, I guess there have been multiple tweets because this is not the tweet that I saw that I just pulled up. The initial tweet that I saw was he had a consensual intimate relationship with a member of the organization. And I'm thinking my initial instinct is, I mean, like Kevin Costner and Jennifer Garner did that in draft day. They even brought a baby into the world. Like, who cares? Why is that a story? But all right, so he's married. That's a problem, obviously. That you can't do. That part, I feel like, has not been well publicized.
Yeah, but they've been trying. And really, I think with that, they can't really – you can't fire somebody necessarily for that. I think Rosas would have a lawsuit on his hands. He'd have a reason to come back at the organization. And so pretty soon after that, you saw some tweets and some other stuff coming out. Well, it was performance-related. Which that stinks to high heaven because, we're a week before training camp and you've decided now that his performance wasn't right. This is becoming a mess. I think the big thing, you step back and the big picture is the tweet that Carl Anthony Towns sends out last night saying WTF and who can blame him? He's been there seven seasons. He's had four coaches in seven seasons. This will be his fifth general manager in seven seasons. If you're him, I'm sure you're sitting back and he hasn't been, a guy who's rattling his saber about getting traded out of there. That's not been something that he's done. But now I think you have an impetus to maybe set that in motion. And if you're the Timberwolves front office, that's going to scare you.
Yeah, you can feel the vultures circling already, right? I mean, everybody's. And this is the biggest part of the NBA is team building. Everybody wants to talk about team building, no trade for this. That's what fuels the NBA offseason. The offseason is all about who's trading for who, who's going where, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess if you look at, the three guys that we're going to be talking about here and maybe potential fits with the Celtics possibly, Carl Anthony Towns is someone that our very own Cedric Maxwell has been advocating that Boston trade for. I've been hesitant because they, he keeps including Jaylen Brown and I don't want any part of that. I'd love to add, Kat to Jaylen and Jason if it's possible. But does Carl Anthony Towns feel like a fit in Boston to you, Sean?
Oh yeah, sure. But you're going to have to give up Jaylen Brown. I mean, there's no way to make that work without, you're going to have to give up something. It's not going to be Tatum. It's going to be Jaylen. And so you've got to decide if that's the move you want to make. And then you do have to look at the body of work. I mentioned, the turmoil that we've seen in Minnesota over the course of Towns' career. But at the same time, you have to say, okay, but where has he improved? Where has he gotten better? What has his role been in that team consistently underachieving? And that's where you have to really say, okay, is this a guy we want on our team that we want to build around, given the fact that he wasn't able to get it done in Minnesota himself?
I guess I'll just ask the, for the sake of this being a Celtics theme show, it's fodder. It doesn't really mean anything, but your opinion, any of us can weigh in on this, obviously, but to Max's point, as Evan brought him up, he was a strong, staunch advocate of bringing in Carl Anthony Towns, pairing him with Jason Tatum. Obviously, like you said, it would cost you Jaylen Brown and more probably. I don't see that as being a one for one, but would you, I mean, what do you think is the better fit? You know, would you rather have, you know, look at the complete package, look at the skill set, look at the age, look at the contract, look at injury history, look at everything that is on the table. Would you rather have Brown and Tatum or Tatum and Towns?
Tatum and Towns. You know, I mean, when you get a guy his size who can move the way he does and has the potential to be the kind of inside out player offensively that that he should be. And like I say, I don't think that even in 7 years, he's really done enough to get to the peak of that potential. Part of that might be the organization. Part of that might be the guy. You know, there's still more there for Karl Anthony Towns. Still a young guy and certainly can improve. But yeah, you know, I think the combination of size, athleticism, and like I say, that unfilled potential, that would be too intriguing for me to pass up. If it cost you Jaylen Brown, then I'd say you'd have to do it. But I'd be surprised if it comes to that.
I just don't see taking Boston out of the equation, just talking about Towns and a trade in Minnesota in general. I just don't see the Timberwolves being anywhere close to making a move like this, short of obviously him just demanding his way out of town, as people right. thought was going to happen with whether it was Beal or Lillard, and is going on with Ben Simmons, that type of situation, you know, going full James Harden in Houston. Because I mean, you got the new ownership group now, you got this disaster that you're trying to clean up after a very uninspiring offseason. All of a sudden you're trying to rally fans back right before the start of a year, even partway into a year. And we're trading the face of the franchise. You know, this went well when we did it with Kevin Garnett. We're going to do it with Karl Anthony Towns now. Hope you guys forgive us.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen unless Towns forces it. And I think that's why, you know, if you're in that front office and you see that tweet last night, that's, you know, I mean, as bad as everything else that they're going to have to deal with, that they are dealing with today, is that's the back of my mind, is I got to get on the phone with Karl Anthony and make sure that he's cool and that he understands where we're going and why all this is happening. Because as soon as he starts angling to get out of there, it's going to be really that's a road that it's really difficult to come back from. And I will say, like, he's never been a guy who needed to play in a big market. He's never been a guy who, you know, he's happy in Minnesota. He wants them to win. You know, he mm-hmm. wants to see some direction. He wants to see them building towards something, which they haven't done in the 7 years that he's been there. But it's not like he needs to, you know, he's from New Jersey, but he doesn't need to go to New York. You know, he doesn't need to play in a big market. And if you're Minnesota, you've got to appreciate that and make sure, you know, that if WTF is the question, then you've got to have some answers for them.
So maybe this is well publicized and I just don't know, but you know, we knew like LeBron and the Banana Boat Crew, we knew, you know, Kyrie and Durant and Harden and DeAndre Jordan and that type of thing. Who's Towns close to in the league?
Like, well, D'Angelo Russell. That's why when they made that trade, it was seen as something to make him happy. So they made the Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell trade in part to keep Karl Anthony Towns happy. That's probably the guy he's closest to in the league.
Yeah, it's just for me, you know, strange fit. The fit makes sense. The only reservations I have is, you know, you have Ime Udoka, who's going to be primarily a defensive head coach, you know, a team that, you know, is going to want to play better defense than they played last year for sure. And we've seen it throughout Towns' tenure that, you know, defensively, he's just not what he should be, considering the size, the speed, the length, the presence at the rim. And I thought maybe with KG being there, that 1 year that they overlapped might help him. And it just, you know, and again, part of that, you know, is maybe not even on Towns. So we've talked about all the GMs, all the coaches, all the players in and out. Like, maybe this isn't the, you know, Big Cat's fault. You know, maybe it's, you know, the circumstance why he hasn't gotten better defensively. And I guess if Boston wanted to know, you know, what he's really like, they have a great asset in Kevin Garnett who could get on the phone and start talking about him. So there's that too. The other side of that is Karl Anthony Towns has never played with anybody as good as Jason Tatum. And I think the problem with Cat might be like, maybe he's not a true one. Maybe he's like one of the highest quality number twos you can get, much like an Anthony Davis, right? Davis might, I mean, he has all the skills and talent of a one, but like for some reason isn't the one on a championship team, but is more of is like the highest end two humanly possible, only because LeBron is the number one in that scenario. So maybe bringing Towns to Boston would help balance him out a little bit, where he doesn't have to have the ball at the end of the shot clock, end of the game, to make a play. That's going to be more on Tatum, but he can be like that secondary star that can really, you know, take a lot of pressure off Tatum in terms of creating the half court. So, like, there are certain pluses and minuses. Do you think some of them outweigh the other, Sean?
Yeah, and like, you know, I mean, what you said about defense is spot on. I mentioned that offensively too, that he just never has really become, he could be a really good 3-point shooter. And obviously, has the skill to be a great post player. And is kind of in between on both of those. And it's the same on defense. You know, I mean, he should be a great rim protector. He should be a guy who, can guard the rim, and a second half later can be out challenging a shot, out at the 3-point line. But we haven't seen that much from him. And I think that's the real issue, is why, is that on the organization? Don't forget that Kevin Garnett was there, and shortly thereafter, the owner kind of chased him out of town, because he had this deal, the whole thing with the ownership group, why that wasn't better handled, by Glenn Taylor, who knows, but it chased Kevin Garnett out of town. So if you had this asset that could have helped Karl Anthony Towns, now he's gone. He's not shown up, with the Timberwolves again. So, it's hard to explain exactly why he hasn't fulfilled all of his potential. But even having said that, look at his numbers, look at his play. We're talking about him as a disappointment. He's got great. I mean, he's been fantastic. I mean, he's got these great numbers. So, that even when there's another level for him to go, he's already at a pretty high level.
Let's take a quick break today. The show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. We are back better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron. Teams back on for another football season. Of course, week 3 on the horizon as we talk right now. It begins tonight. As always, BetOnline, your top spot for all the pro and college football action this year, with new updated site and interface available to you, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device, sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Do not forget promo code CLNS50 to receive that bonus. Of course, the Patriots, 3-point favorites at home against the Saints, going for their second straight win this weekend. Keep in mind, once again, it's Thursday. A lot can change in terms of lines and odds, props, everything that I mentioned between now and Sunday as we chat. But, Evan, what are you keeping an eye on? I know a couple weeks ago you did real well. Last week, maybe a little up and down.
Last week was an utter disaster. You can thank the Seahawks for that. That was tough to watch for me. Unfortunately, it just didn't go my way. But as I look through here, I've been keeping tabs on it all week. I think this is the week the Atlanta Falcons get off the schneid here. They're +3 in New York. I know the Giants are a disaster, and I don't know, Atlanta's not great either, but you're getting points on the road against a Giants team that's really bad. I like Atlanta +3. Another one I like quite a bit, the Raiders -4. Now, Miami's got a great defense. Derek Carr leads the league in passing yards so far. Miami's going to start our favorite backup quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. Tua is out this week. The Raiders are 2-0. I like the -4 there. It's not like neither of these teams can play in the heat, but the Raiders have been playing really well so far, both sides of the ball. I'll give you two more. One, Seattle -1 in Minnesota. I think Seattle comes back after a heartbreaking loss last weekend, figures it out. It's only a point. No big deal there. And I'll tell you this, folks. The Jets are terrible. And
is this a revelation?
If you saw last week, you had Zach Wilson throw 4 picks against the Patriots. Zach Wilson's now going to Denver and going to play Vic Fangio, Denver defense. And I think there's another 4-interception game coming here. The line is huge. It's -10.5. But I just don't have any faith in the Jets at all whatsoever to score any points on the Broncos. And Teddy Bridgewater has been pretty steady, steady Teddy, 2 gloves, for the Broncos. I like the -10.5, even though it's a ton of points. I still like that because the Jets are that bad. So, again, week 1, 3-1. Last week, I think 0-4. Tough week last week. So we're struggling a little bit here. We're going to lick our wounds a little bit. We're going to get back on it this week, though. Those are my best bets for this week.
Shaughnessy writing all these things down. So yep.
He's gonna fade me though. Be mindful.
But you know, gamble responsibly. Obviously, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season, folks. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, let's get back to basketball here. We can get to lines and odds and all that concerning the NBA and the Celtics, too, maybe in a little bit. But for right now, we've done Minnesota. Let's continue to bounce around. Let's do Philadelphia. Ben Simmons wants out of Philly. That is no surprise. I mean, it's been widely reported for weeks, months even, and it just now seems to at least publicly be coming to a head. For some reason, this is, again, publicly, I have to imagine, not privately. You know, this comes to the surprise of Doc Rivers. Wait, what? No, we can fix this. We want Ben here. After, of course, Simmons was just thrown under the bus by his head coach and, you know, co-star or the team's true face, Joel Embiid, immediately after that postseason loss. It was basically, this guy sucks, and he is the reason that we lost this series. Now, Ben Simmons comes with a monster contract. He has torpedoed his trade value, Sean. I know some people out there like to daydream about, you know, could he fit with the Celtics? Apparently, Evan was telling me before the show, Ryan Rosillo was saying on his pod, Celtics are interested. Like, yeah, I'm sure the Celtics are interested, meaning if they could have Ben Simmons and just give them like Bruno Fernando, sure, they're interested. It's not happening. Ben Simmons, there's no universe in which Ben Simmons comes to Boston. But what do you make of this entire situation?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously Philadelphia has painted itself into a corner. I was talking to a GM the other day, and the name that he brought up that Philadelphia is very familiar with, because they were the beneficiaries of this situation last time it happened in 2019, was Jimmy Butler. And what's happening now is, you know, Philadelphia is still waiting for the Damian Lillard offer. You know, they see Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons as the deal they want. The rest of the league is waiting for the Jimmy Butler offer. Remember what Philadelphia gave up to get Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler in 2019 didn't want to show up for camp with Minnesota. And then he does show up and he kind of tanks everything, and he's, you know, making a joke out of practice and all this stuff. And just everything collapsed there. And Minnesota had to take what it could get. It got Robert Covington, Jared Bayless, and Dario Saric. That's what Minnesota got for Jimmy Butler. So Philadelphia wants the Damian Lillard offer. The rest of the league is waiting for it to get bad enough to get to Robert Covington and Jared Bayless territory. And that's kind of where it's been stuck, you know, pretty much going back to the draft. They had conversations with a number of teams. I know the Warriors were one. The Warriors said no thanks. And you know, ultimately, the Sixers are still sitting here. You know, now they've got a guy who's not going to show up. And like I said, the rest of the league is just waiting for that value to absolutely bottom out so they can jump in and get Simmons for as low as a price as possible. And ironically, it could wind up being the Timberwolves who make the deal. So sort of the Jimmy Butler scenario, only in reverse.
What's weird to me is how, you know, it's just, I don't know, nature of social media and the talking heads that, you know, the way this business, this industry operates now, but narratives just go, you know, to complete extremes. Like people talk about Ben Simmons now, like he's this terrible basketball player. Like if, you know, the Sixers trade him away, who cares? We're going to be better. We don't need that guy. And look, I'm not sitting here saying that Ben Simmons is this, you know, top 15 player in the NBA or something like that, but he isn't terrible. Is he overpaid? Sure, you can make that claim. Are there holes in his game? Absolutely. You know, Kevin O'Connor's been, you know, saying that he's been shooting with the wrong hand all these years, but I certainly don't believe that Ben Simmons is just so terrible that you take him off the Sixers and that team is heading in the right direction, barring, you know, a trade where you're getting actual equal value. But I don't see how that is remotely possible right now. I'm not sure Simmons is quite getting his due as a player. As a person, you want to call him soft or something like that, you know, we can entertain that. But as a player, I feel like he's better than the credit right now.
Yeah, he's an excellent defensive player, one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, one of the best passers in the league. And, you know, for his position, if you assume he's going to be a point guard and some teams see him if they were to make a deal for him as you know, moving to a small forward or at least a shooting guard kind of role. But if you assume he's a point guard, yeah, great rebounder. I mean, just a fantastic rebounder as a point guard. So, yeah, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of these skills. I think the thing that is troubling about him though is the unwillingness to shoot and the shaking of the confidence. That's the obvious thing. That's what Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid were frustrated with. And when they said what they said after game seven, in that loss to Atlanta. But at the same time, that hasn't always been the case. You know, I mean, it seemed to be something that got worse and worse as this season went on. If you go back to previous seasons, he wasn't shooting four shots a game. He was comfortable taking those little mid-range shots and attacking the basket. He did not seem to want to do that as this season went on. But it's not like that's been the defining factor of his whole career. You know, in Philadelphia, was in a similar situation with Markelle Fultz, you remember. And wasn't sure what to do. You didn't have any body of evidence there if you were Philadelphia that showed that he was going to break out of this. He never really put anything forward for them. At least with Simmons, you're in a situation where you're looking at a guy and you're saying he hasn't always been like this, so he's going to go somewhere else. He's going to go to wherever, Sacramento or somewhere, and he'll be fine. But you know, the Sixers have a hard time making that case to other teams as they're trying to find the right trade deal here.
He's not just going to be fine, Evan. He's going to go to the Kings or Timberwolves or wherever. He's going to be taking 5 threes a game. He's going to be shooting 40% from long range. We're going to see a totally different Ben Simmons. It's going to the, like open gym Ben Simmons that we always get the video highlights of on social media is going to be NBA Ben Simmons, and I am here for it. Shoot a three, you coward. No. It's going to be stop shooting. He's hitting too many. This is torturous for the defense.
Yeah, Ben Simmons' high-volume three-point shooter is going to be a real revelation for the rest of the NBA.
As
a Celtics podcast, we got to keep in mind here, this is tremendously excellent for the Celtics, right? First off, Boston, there's no way. It's no way. Just absolutely no way that they end up with the trade for Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons' best fit is, like, if he's playing, like, point center and you have more – like, he's the only guy that's going to be – you know, down low potentially, and you just have a wide open floor. You might get killed at rebounding it, but like obviously the fit with another big on the floor is just not working. I've never feared the Sixers because of the floor spacing between those two guys. I just don't see how it works in a 7-game series. I've been saying it forever, and now that's come to a head that Simmons is going to be gone. Part of me is terrified at what the return would be because that could really actually end up balancing out Philadelphia better than they are right now. Now we'll see is it D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley and whatever the hell else from Minnesota for Simmons? You know, I'm not really terrified of D'Angelo Russell either.
That's not how you keep Cat happy.
Right. So, well, I mean, and then again, the fit with Cat would be very weird too. So like as a C's podcast and people that watch them and digest them and study them, where he ends up, like the Dame Lillard thing obviously terrifies everybody because Dame and Joel Embiid on the floor at the same time would be really something. As I'm with Sean, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Dame is probably going to ride this out a little bit, see what it is in Chauncey and go from there. So the poo-poo platter package, becomes interesting as like, okay, how does Boston react to this? You know, if it's Buddy Hield, and, you know, Tyrese Halliburton or whatever from Sacramento, that's a little – I like that return for Philadelphia because I think Buddy Hield's a great three-point shooter, and Tyrese Halliburton's been one of the best rookies, I think, of that last class. I really enjoy him. I think he's great. It's too bad he didn't fall two more picks. But when it comes to monitoring the situation, Boston is probably hoping – I mean, I would assume that he's probably going out west, but Boston's hoping that the return here – is for scraps, much like that Jimmy Butler trade. That's a really excellent point, Sean. I never thought about that. It's almost identical. The only thing that's different, I think, is the length on the contract that's left. Jimmy, I had 1 year left, bolted to Miami because he hated every part about being there, which should tell you something.
There's $100 million left in his deal.
And Ben's got, I mean, just a ton. And that's the thing with me is you got to find a team that's willing to take on all that money for a guy that in the most recent playoff appearance could not hit a shot in the fourth quarter and basically refused to shoot. So
from Messiah's standpoint, we're sitting here like, this could be epically disastrous for the Sixers if it's not the Dame Lillard trade. This could really, really hurt Philadelphia and then flip-flop these two teams in the standings. Because right now, you know, as it's currently, you know, constituted, I think Celtics are behind them, given what we saw last year. And I think if the right moves were made, you know, Philly would stay right there. But I think at the end of the day, you might see a transition here where Boston takes the leap because of the poo-poo platter that Philly had to settle with. And I am curious, you know, where he ends up. If it's like Houston, I'm not sure what the Houston package looks like. So as a Celtics fan, if you're out there, you know, listening, watching, whatever, monitor this. This is a direct impact on Boston's future right here. And it just shows you that Danny made the right moves at the time. I mean, you think about it this way. The Sixers could easily have Embiid, Brown, and Tatum. How scary is that team? They're lucky that Philly continues to bungle all of these moves and just not make right decisions when it comes down to it. They've had poor roster management throughout this quote-unquote trust the process era show.
I would hesitate. I feel like you're doing Danny a little bit of a disservice when you say it's bungling on the part of Philadelphia. You know, remember, Markelle Fultz was the consensus number one pick.
They had the photo shoot in the Garden. I thought it was a lot.
Yeah, so it was a shock, you know, for most when they traded that pick, when they were seeking Tatum from the start. And then, you know, even with, like, when Jaylen Brown was drafted, he wasn't this, like, perfect. I can't believe they got Jaylen Brown. Like, there was booing at the Garden. A lot of people were not thrilled about that. So, you know, a lot of, you know, there's foresight, obviously, on the part of Ainge and things that have worked out. But, you know, I'd hesitate to call it, you know, bungling on the part of the Sixers. What I wonder, John, and obviously you can react to all that from Evan as well, but on the Doc Rivers part of things, I know his reputation as a head coach has, you know, dwindled, for lack of a better word, since his time in Boston, multiple 3-1 series collapses and all of that. I've never been a big Doc guy. Evan knows that. I've been doing this show for years. But what I wonder on top of that is his, you know, all the praise that we give him as a player's coach and as a, you know, a manager of egos and personalities and the way he works with superstars. Has that kind of spiraled a little bit too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly if you go back to the Clippers, his relationship with Chris Paul was not great. And, you know, Paul has had, you know, some difficulty working with coaches over time. But you look at what's happened since he left the Clippers, you know, he was great with Oklahoma City in a pretty, you know, not a great situation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, not a situation that a veteran like him wanted to be in. But he was fine there, you know, and thrived and raised that whole team and all that. And then he goes to Phoenix, and we saw what happened last year in his relationship with Monty Williams, which a lot of people thought was strained from the time in New Orleans, but that turned out not to be true. So Chris Paul, you know, has shown that, hey, I can get along with coaches just fine. So makes you think, well, maybe the problem was Doc, you know, maybe it was something that's more on Doc. The thing that I've heard about Doc is that he wants every team to be the 2008 Celtics. You know, he had such a great rapport with those guys, you know, and you know, he obviously had a lot of challenges with Rondo and things like that with that team, that all turned out well. And so I think every team that he goes to, he tries to use that formula. And of course, every group of guys, you know, you can't do with Blake Griffin what you did with Kevin Garnett, right? So, you know, I think that's part of the problem for him is that, you know, he's looked at every team like, you know, like it should be the 2008 Celtics, and tries to impose that on every other team. And of course, just can't do that. And I think that's one of the things that happened with Simmons, you know, that some of the tactics he used to motivate, and poke Rondo along, you know, he's used with Simmons and just a completely different personality. And you can't do that.
I think guys are just, and this is an overarching statement. It's not even about Simmons, you know, specifically, but like even listening, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to it. It's not basketball, but listening to like the way Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Bruins, was talking about Jake DeBrusk yesterday and, you know, the sort of their clashes and relationship in general last year and had to really kind of air their grievances in the off season. And obviously COVID and isolation, things like that played a role, but you know, as a 24-year-old kid, need to, you know, Bruce even said like players today, just again, generalization, need to be massaged a little bit more than they did in his era when he was playing. And I think that's, you know, even that's very true today as compared to 15 years ago in the NBA. Like you can't, again, personalities are different guy to guy and team to team, but you can't treat a Ben Simmons the same way that you treat a Rajon Rondo. They're just totally different types of people, you know, and unfortunately, or for better or worse, I guess, like some players need a little bit of coddling, for lack of a better word, and just support that, I don't know, guys of a certain generation, whether they needed it or not, they didn't get it. It's just not the way it was done. And now things are done differently.
And I think the thing to remember too, though, is that it wasn't just Doc who was a little salty with Simmons after that game. It was Joel Embiid too.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is that Embiid has seen firsthand before Doc that the organization has coddled Ben Simmons all along. And I think part of what Embiid was doing and probably what Doc was doing at the time, too, was saying it's enough. You know, we can't keep calling. We can't keep doing this. You know, I mean, it's this isn't getting us anywhere. It's, if anything, it's getting worse. And so I think the fact that, you know, Doc has taken a lot of criticism for saying what he said about him. You know, I don't know if he's a championship point guard. But Embiid said much the same thing in a different way. But Embiid has had a front row seat to the whole thing. And so, you know, in Doc's defense, I think the fact that Embiid sort of said, you know, something along the same lines, is some evidence that, that certainly Embiid is frustrated by it too.
Today's show powered by the Legends brand as well, an athlete-owned apparel brand that is popping up seemingly everywhere these days, including many pro locker rooms and some of the today's top athletes wearing it as well. Legends is owned in part by athletes like Steve Nash, of course, the Nets head coach, Matt Barnes, Baker Mayfield, NFL legend and local hero Willie McGinest, also even former Celtic Marcus Morris Sr., among many others. Legends makes high-performance apparel with a style and comfort you'll want to wear all day long. If you don't believe me, I got the t-shirt. If you're watching versus just listening, I'm wearing it right now. Maybe you saw me rocking the hoodie last week. Evan has worn the hoodie 3 straight shows. I'm not sure he's taken it off in between shows. He wears it every single day. He tells me about it. He's out there walking the dog. I mean, I would worry if not for the fact that we're on a Zoom call that it smells a little because he wears it so often, but he says he takes care of it. He runs that thing through the wash constantly.
Well, not constantly, but I have washed it, so there's that. But it's the perfect, like, especially now in the morning, depending when you get up, but, like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, sun's still coming up, dew's on the grass right here in New England. It's a little chilly out there. So the go-to morning outfit right now to walk my dog is the shorts from Legends and then this hoodie as well. It's comfortable as heck. If I feel like running her around a little bit to tire her out a little bit and to, you know, cut down on how many things she wants to chew on when we get back to the house, again, it's perfect athletic gear. They talk about how it's performance wear. Totally is. It moves, stretches with you, and it really is form-fitting to your body. So it looks good, performs well, soft as hell. It's the perfect piece that you need for this in-between season as we get into colder weather. You're only going to wear it more. So as you look to expand your fall winter wardrobe, I would highly consider wearing a Legends hoodie. They're super, super, super comfortable.
Evan just said it, and I'll add to it, Sean. I don't know if you're in the market for a nice new sweatshirt, but the, I've got so many sweatshirts in this house that are, you know, like really big and baggy that it seems like you could fit 3 people in them. This is, it's sleek, it's form fitting, like Evan said. It just, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, Evan's standing up, we can get a look at it. There's not a lot of excess material on there, but you don't need it. It just looks good, it feels good, it feels tight to you in the best possible way. I'd encourage it. So, like, I mean, you got to go shopping, man.
I'm in the market for a new one.
Well, you see, write down this promo code along with all of your online bets. Visit legends.com today. See why athletes everywhere are swapping out their big box brands for Legends apparel. All right. The code is BEAT20. That's BEAT20. Save 20% on your first order. Again, that is legends.com. Promo code BEAT20. The offer ends October 10th, folks. So you have a couple weeks, 2.5 weeks or so. You know, get in, take advantage. I'm telling you, I wear this t-shirt all the time. My wife was giving me a hard time about it the other day. She's like, do you feel like wearing maybe a different t-shirt? You know, no. That one may get up and walk away. I said, I love it. It's really comfortable. It's like, I've made this, you know, remark before, Sean. It's like slipping on a cloud. That's how comfortable it is.
The deal is though, I wear this so often, I've become conscious of wearing it as much as I do. And I've had to, like, in certain situations, like, wear a different hoodie just because I'm like, I'm wearing that too much. Like, I can't just, what I need to do is buy
different colors.
I need a couple Legends hoodies. So if Legends, you want to hook a guy up, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, we can work something out. We'll figure something out. All right. So, I'm in the market for maybe more of these. So Legends, if you're listening, I would like some more stuff. If you have,
I echo all of that.
This is the greatest podcast promo in promo history. I think.
We deliver.
You deliver.
And hopefully they will too. All right, let's keep going around the NBA. Obviously, Sean, we've touched on Minnesota. We've talked about Philadelphia. Now let's go to New Orleans, where Zion Williamson is fat. That's not me fat shaming. I would never do that. I'm saying that because that is the complaint of the organization. It is in articles. Evan was sending me excerpts the other day, just trying to wrap his mind around what is going on there with management and David Griffin. You know, first it's Zion, who of course, you know, has a body that is, and this is not even talking about shape or stature. It's, you know, he has at times been viewed as out of shape. There are injury concerns. It goes back to college, obviously. And then he goes into his first rookie training camp. They called him fat. And then there's the long layoff because of the pandemic, comes back into the bubble. They said he's fatter. Okay. The organization has not been supporting Zion Williamson, and or maybe he has not been complying, or somewhere in the middle, obviously, to the point where, and this, like, Evan could speak to this better than me, but he sent me this article. David Griffin is showing up to Zion's room. He's playing songs on a piano for him about how to buy in and how to be better. This is a disaster. Like, this is how long until Zion's contract is up before he goes to the Knicks or somewhere else?
Yeah. You know, usually the way it works is, as in an organization, you get those first 4 years, and then the guy always signs the extension, no matter what, you know, whatever the complaints are, or whatever you hear, you always sign the extension, because you're going from, you know, $8-9 million a year up to $27-28 million a year. Nobody's going to turn that down. So I would be shocked if New Orleans wasn't able to get Zion to sign an extension. However, things have gone so badly in these first 2 years that he might be one of the first guys who gets traded that way. I mean, you can think way back, you know, Kevin Love, when he first signed his extension, you know, his first 3-4 years in Minnesota, everybody was saying, oh, he's getting it. He wants out. And they put that big contract in front of you. It's impossible not to sign it. This is something that seems to be a little different. I mean, Zion's got a lot of Nike money. What I understand, it's more if he winds up in a bigger market. So that's something to keep an eye on. He might have more incentive than just about anybody to force his way out beforehand. And this is a New Orleans franchise that, of course, is still reeling from the Anthony Davis stuff. David Griffin was brought in part to clean up that mess and make sure that didn't happen again. The guy that he drafts with that first pick 2 years later now looks to be on that same path. So, like I said, it's very rare for a guy to who's still on a rookie deal to be in any kind of position to force a trade. This looks to be a situation where, you know, it's hard to see how it resolves itself. You know, it really is. If you're New Orleans, there's no way you want to trade Zion Williamson. But if it's heading that way, you might want to get out in front of it. And if you're going to be rebuilding, strike while the iron is hot. Don't wait too long. Don't wait till you're in this kind of situation that Philadelphia's in with Ben Simmons.
Yeah. I mean, look, to give this a Boston angle, I would do everything, anything besides outside of Tatum. You can have anything. I don't care what it is. Don't care who it is. How many picks?
whatever it takes. It feels, as Adam and I have talked about via text, feels like the Knicks sits where it's going, because it just feels like, you know, as you said, bigger market, Nike chips in more money. You know, and that feels like a destination. So if you're Boston, to get out in front of this, try and because again, you could probably sell Zion on Boston if things worked out well. It's not like Tatum's doing pretty well for himself endorsement wise, considering his age and considering the quote unquote market he is in. He's all over the place. I love it. I love seeing Tatum in commercials. The 2K commercial where he's kicking somebody's ass on 2K with just Jason Tatum, I think is actually just brilliant. I thought he did really well there. All the Jordan stuff, the Bose, air, you know, is it Bose or Beats or whatever the hell he does for
Subway.
Subway. Draymond. I mean, it's obviously not hurt him at all. I think if you're Boston, you know, I would call Griffin up, because it looks, if I were Griff, like, you're not trading him to the Western Conference, obviously, if you can avoid it. And this is all very, very premature. But just to keep his looks related, I would drive, and I love Jalen, and I wouldn't trade Jalen for Cat, only because I'm a little worried about Cat not being able to get anybody to the playoffs, even though he's in the Western Conference.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Evan.
I would drive Jalen to the airport myself to do it. I love Jalen. Jalen is one of my favorite people in the NBA, period. We might get to his article later in the show with Mark Spears. He just continues to be not just an NBA player, but just a really good person and a really great voice, using his platform for really powerful things. And especially in Boston, where a voice like that is desperately needed, I think so highly of him. And even though I think the world of Jaylen Brown, I would still drive him to the airport to get Zion Williams. The way it is,
but to be clear, I mean, and you're absolutely right that's the reason that they're not going to trade Zion Williamson this year, certainly. You know, last year was a disaster for New Orleans, no question. You know, Stan Van Gundy, I had no idea what that hire was all about right from the beginning. That seemed to be a terrible idea. But Willie Green, I think, has a chance to be a pretty good coach, and definitely is a guy who, as a former player, has a certain rapport that Stan was never going to have, and has a reputation as a player development guy as well. So, you know, if you can kind of scotch last year altogether and put that behind you and hope that you can kind of start over with Willie Green here, then maybe that calms things down. That has to be the organization's hope at this point. So, you know, at least for this season, we're not going to see any kind of Zion Williamson, you know, not any real trade talks on Zion Williamson.
Well, in the interest of time, because we have just a little while longer, we've really gone around the NBA with Boston, you know, themes, as you know, you've heard in listening over the course of this show. Evan, you brought up that article that Jaylen Brown did, obviously, with Mark Spears and the Undefeated. What were your big takeaways from that?
It's a tremendous article. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, Jaylen obviously is a guy that thinks beyond the game of basketball and the livelihood of people in America. And, you know, some of the things that he talks about racial inequality, about systemic racism in this country, is just really, really right on, especially for a guy that age. I mean, you got to remember, Jalen's only like 25. To have some of the thoughts that he has and to be able to expand on them the way he does is just really impressive. The talks that he gives throughout colleges, you know, MIT, Harvard, Cal Berkeley, obviously, but then he goes to HBCUs and does stuff there. He's a great humanitarian. He's a student of the world, so to speak. He travels all over the place and learns and immerses himself in other cultures and really learns and brings that back with him and tries to teach the people. I think that's great. That's just the off-the-court stuff that gets me really excited. The on-the-court stuff they talked about, of course, with Mark, because you have to talk about that at some capacity, should also get you excited. Talks about how he wants to be a better playmaker. And we saw that jump last year more than I ever thought you would see out of Jaylen Brown. Like, I was legitimately stunned at some of the reads and passes that he's starting to make and develop that side of his game. And there seems to be a want to, right? The difference between him and Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons is, you know, an outrageously gifted player, but the things that he's needed to work on, he's never really addressed. Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown has become a knockdown three-point shooter and is now starting to become a little bit of a facilitator.
And he doesn't really need to be one, but it would help Boston if he became one. So his want to become a better facilitator to help out his team. And at the end of the article, he says, all I want to do is win. Whatever I have to do for this team for us to win is what I'm going to do. That's got to make you thrilled as a Celtics fan. He's just the, again, we talked about how Danny really nailed it here with the Jalen pick. And if you look at the guys after him, Dragon Bender, Josh Jackson. No, that's the
Chris Dunn. Yeah.
Marquise Chris was involved there. I mean, Jamal Murray panned out. That was a good one. I think Buddy Hield went to the Kings at like 8. So there's another one that was good, but there were some really bad ones in there too. Jalen has just been tremendous. I can't think highly of a guy, but if he's going to work on some of the stuff he's going to work on, and based on his past performance, you know he's working on it. This has got to be exciting. He also talked about how he wasn't fully healthy at all at any point last season. Mm-hmm. Talked about, I only had 59 dunks. You know that's not me. Like, you just know that's not my game. I was hurt all year. I feel better than I did last year. The off-season, having an off-season – has really helped me to really heal my body and get it right. Like, all these things should make you very excited as a C's fan. And Sean, if he's going to be a better facilitator along with Marcus and Jason Tatum, and Al Horford and Rob Williams, if all those guys are moving the ball, like Ime wants them to move the ball, this could be a very, very, very fun team as we hit their stride midseason, in my opinion.
Yeah. And they've got to be able to do that. I mean, they don't have a ton of offensive firepower. That's the big hole on this team. I think they're a much better defensive team. I think they have a lot of good individual defenders and should be able to play really great team defense. But they're going to have to move the ball a lot to create the kind of offense that they're going to need outside of Tatum and Brown. And a lot of those passes have to at least start with Tatum and Brown. And then I think that's one thing that happened with Jalen last year. We mentioned his improvement as a passer is, a lot of times a guy like that in the first couple of years in the league will be afraid to make that first pass because they don't think they're going to get the ball back. And I think that with Jalen, he really had an understanding of I can make this pass knowing that I'm going to get this back and I'm going to be in a better position to score when I do. So, but that's got to be the attitude of the whole team though, because, there isn't, you obviously 2 years ago, you have Kemba and Gordon Hayward. Now you don't have either one of those guys. Schroeder is a step down from, obviously from a healthy, Kemba Walker. And you go right down the list. I mean, offensively, this isn't a great team, but it can be an above average offensive team if they move the ball.
I just think, from the last thing that you said, Evan, and obviously everything that Sean said, I think this, and this is not me saying it's disingenuous. I just think that Jaylen Brown is cognizant of the company line right now. What we're hearing from him and what we've heard from Jason Tatum, it's all come since we first heard it from Ime Udoka, which is, listen, we need our pillars, the Jays, our all-stars, our borderline all-NBA guys, two borderline top 25 guys in the league. Tatum's already there. He's borderline top 15, but Brown is borderline top 25. We need these guys to trust each other, to trust everyone else, to play as a team, to be facilitators, to be playmakers. We need that from these guys. And so I just don't think it's any coincidence that they are now parroting that same message as they talk about getting ready for a new year. It's part of what has me, Sean, just so really fascinated, for lack of a better word, at what kind of coaching in general we're going to see from Ime Udoka. Because over the last 8 years, we knew over the course of time what to expect from Brad Stevens. We even knew to some degree what to expect from just going back to his time in college at Butler and the success that he had there going to multiple championship games. Udoka has a great reputation. He is certainly, revered by everyone who says anything about him. But seeing it in action, no one's had that pleasure yet. We haven't had that. And so I'm really anxious to see what this looks like.
Yeah, I am too, especially on the defensive end, because I think their defense can be good enough for the offense to catch up, so they can win games early on in the year if their defense is good enough. And that's going to be key because, when you look at the Eastern Conference, when we get to, late March, early April, you're going to have four teams at least that are all bunched up, maybe even five. You know, after you have Nets, you're going to have the Bucks, and then you're going to have four or five teams. And so, you know, winning those two or three games that maybe you shouldn't have won early in the year, that's going to make a difference. You know, if you've got 48 wins, you know, that's probably going to get you a three seed. If you've got 45 wins, that might get you a six seed or a seven seed. That's the way the East is going to be this year. So you've got to be able to win those games, those games that maybe you shouldn't early on in the year. If their defense is good enough, and I think it can be, and I think that Ime as a coach will have them doing that. If their defense can be good enough for their offense to wait for their offense to figure it out and click together, then I think they can you know, do well enough early on in the year that by the end of the year they're going to be in position to get, you know, home court advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's in the beauty of having two guys that, you know, in the top 25. You know, you got to have those high end stars,
right?
And if you don't have that, you're going to be again in seven game series when everybody's good and the defense is keying on certain things. You got to have guys that can make shots. And we know that Tatum can make shots. You know, Brown can make big time shots. And just, you know, the beauty is that the respect now, you're seeing from everybody else, you know, with that top 100 ranking that came out, from Sports Illustrated, Tatum being in the top 15. I mean, that's big time. That is big time. And you need a top 10, 15 guy in order to make, you know, any noise in the playoffs, whether it's, you know, Eastern Conference finals, if you don't have one of those guys, you're totally screwed.
Very good, fellas. Well, next time we talk, training camp's going to be underway and preseason games right around the corner, and heck, regular season basketball. It is weeks away, folks. It is coming. I'm excited about it. Sean Devaney is going to join us throughout the years. He always does, because he's kind and generous with his time, and maybe being paid in the form of cashing out bets on Bet Online. It's hard to say. I mean, he's just going to reinvest that money in Legends. But either way, the guy is, you know, he knows where his bread's buttered. Sean, we appreciate you coming on, hanging out with us as always.
Thank you, guys.
Evan, here's to a better weekend for you.
Let's hope.
All right.
Can't get worse, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Quite literally couldn't get worse than last week, so fair enough.
Rate, review, subscribe, all those things that you always hear about that we don't push nearly enough. But please do it, because we like when you listen. Find us on YouTube, iTunes, everywhere, and part of the CLNS family. Remember, this show is powered by betonline.ag, Legends Apparel as well. And we've given you those promo codes. But again, CLNS50 for BetOnline. For Legends Apparel, it's BEAT, B-A-A-T, 20, BEAT 20. Again, for Sean, for Evan, I'm Adam. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. Celtics basketball, it's coming.